to see another day this morning. I was thinking about the way my Jesus lived. Oh, I want to live just like he did. And I want to love just like he is. Oh, I want to be just like Jesus. I want to keep his precious love in my heart. I love his holy way, and from him I'll never stray. I want to be just like my Lord. When I woke up to another day this morning, I was thinking of how he wept and he prayed alone. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thine. Oh, I want to be just like Jesus. I want to keep his precious love in my heart. I love his holy way, and from him I'll never stray. I want to be just like my Lord. When I woke up to see another day this morning, I was thinking about the cross he died on. How he bled and how the soldiers mocked him. Then the Father came and took him home. Oh, I want to be just like Jesus. I want to keep his precious love in my heart. I love his holy way, and from him I'll never stray. I want to be just like my Lord. Oh, I want to be just like Jesus, enduring my trials as they come. And when my trials are over and the toils of life have gone, he will be there to take me home. Yes, he will be there to take me home.
Let's all stand. We'll take up the offering and we'll sing Come and Dine, and then Brother Wake will come forth. Thomas? Or, I'm sorry, I can't see. I'm sorry. Come and dine. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed all the spies are every need. Those would sweep this up with Jesus the time. Come and dine, the master call it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine. The disciples came to land thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies a hungry every time. Come and dine, the Master called it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride, to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will be simple be. Prove to be a glorious sight, all the saints are dressed in white, and that Jesus will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master called, come and dine. You may feast at the time. You who fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine.
Let's sing that last verse again. Soon the Lamb will take his bride, to be ever at his side. All the host, boy, one day, bimble be. Oh, twill be a glorious sight. We don't have to go home. And with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine.
Amen. You come to dine tonight? Wow, good to be back. Good to be here. Good to see most everybody back. Aaron and Sarah are riding bulls somewhere out in Wyoming, I think. I don't know what's going on, but he's about the only one that's not here. So good to see each and every one of you. Thanks for holding the fort down while we were gone this weekend. We had a good time at Brother Paget's, and we got all his water situations settled with his baptistry and got all that. He had enough chlorine in it to, I didn't know if the Spirit of the Lord was there in the meeting, but everybody was crying. There was so much chlorine in that little room till everybody was pretty much crying their eyes out, and we helped him get that straightened out. So good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you for all your prayers. Dad and Mom enjoyed their time over there too, seeing Brother and Sister Paget, and we sure do appreciate them for letting us come over there and be with them. Good to see Renee and Isaac. That would be a cousin, right? That's not boyfriend, so y'all don't worry about it. If they sit close together, that's a cuz. All right? Well, wait a minute. George, never mind. They're from South Carolina, so they must took a wrong turn and didn't go up. You come this? Okay, good. Thank you. But good to have them with us. So always good to have Sister Renee and her family with us. So just greet them with the love of the Lord. Good to see Anderson and Sister Anna and Sister Sarah and Sister David back. What, Sister David? Brother David back with us. Sister David, good to have you back, buddy. Good to have them back with us. Amen. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to John 1, and we'll continue on. I was preaching a little bit on the Statue of Perfect Man this weekend on brotherly kindness, and I kind of, you know, felt at home, so I just kind of drilled them a little bit, you know, and Sister... what's her name? Rita Montgomery. Afterwards, she come out and she was stepping like she was stepping over stuff in the aisle. And I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm stepping over all this loose skin laying on the ground that we got shaved off during the service today. So just step over the loose skin as you go outside, because we still going to talk about brotherly kindness. Take it a little bit different angle with it, because there was a time in the Bible where there was a prophet and a real good Holy Ghost-filled man. They parted ways. Paul and Barnabas. They had such a sharp contention, so they, one went one way and one went the other. But they were both Holy Ghost-filled people. So let's let's look at that and see what we can come. You know, it's got to be a balance. Like Brother George Smith said, you know, he brings his level with him and lays it out. You know, it's got to have a balance. Well, you do have to have a balance. You can't get run over, but you got to have brotherly kindness and love them whether they love you or not. All right. And as Brother Ryan said, our Ruth camp is going to be this coming weekend. That'll be when all the missionaries come. And if you want to go, we're going Thursday and Friday. Come back Saturday with Brother Keith Reed, and Sister Francine's coming with him. So we sure. The girls are not going to get to come. They didn't renew their visa in time, so they're not coming. But Francine and Keith will be here with us probably 3 or 4 days. All right, this coming Saturday. Not this coming Saturday, the next Saturday, which will be August the 6th or 7th or something. We'll have in Bible study. All right, and Brother Keith will be here. So we'll have Bible study, but we're going to have prayer meeting from 5 to 6. I know some of you had wanted to do that, to not have too many Saturdays coming up here. And also we'll start at 5 o'clock. We'll open up Saturday at 5 o'clock. And between 5 and 6, you can come up here and pray for the meetings coming up. We've got Brother Jason Jackson coming. Brother Keith will be here that Sunday. And then we've got several other meetings coming up with Brother Andrew Glover in September. The third Saturday there will be our youth service. So we're expecting a good time, but that will be from 5 to 6, not this coming Saturday, the next Saturday. All right. And then from 6 to 8, we'll have Bible study. I've got several good questions already to discuss. So we're going to try to do that, and we sure do appreciate people. I think it's good to go down and ask questions, but it's good already to give them a little bit ahead of time so you can study a little bit and get some quotes together and all that. And also, I want this coming Sunday, we're at the part of the Statue of Perfect Man at Brotherly Kindness. I know some of you kind of got in at the middle or last or whatever, but go back and watch them. That's why they put them online. But that Holy Spirit right there, we're going to really talk about it. Sunday, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then Brother Branham talks about the true baptism. Not that the bottom one's false. But it's a quote. I'm going to quote the quote to you probably tonight if we get to it. But that's what we're going to focus on Sunday is, number one, do you have that Holy Ghost at the bottom? Now, if you do, then we're going to look at the anointings that you have that are virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. And then that Holy Spirit at the top of the pyramid, it's very, very important. You can't go any further. The headstone can't come. You can't get a revelation of the Son of Man without that. So you can't be a baby. You got to be an adult. That's why we've been speaking for 121 services now. And Brother Dale's been doing it for way more than that to try to get us to grow up. The ministry in this message is a growth ministry. It's to grow. It's to not be babies. It's not to be a bunch of sniffling youngins, but to be able to eat meat. All right. And if you're not, then if you've been here long enough and you're not, then it ain't Brother Dale's fault. And it ain't God's fault. So whose fault is it? So it's our fault that we're not in position we need to be, because we all need to be in position. If we don't, then we're going to get left behind. All right. So let's look at part 121 on the Son of Man. You can't see that, can you? Okay. Technology. For the older ones in the back, there you go. All right, so let's read, and then we'll pray. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember that flesh. That flesh had to be perfected because it was not perfect. Jesus Christ's flesh was not eternal. It was not perfect. All right, it had to be made perfect, as the Bible says, and going and growing in grace and knowledge. So if He did, I know we do. All right, so let's bow our heads. Lord, thank You for this evening. Middle of the week, Lord, may we just talk about You for a few minutes and be settled down here, Father, and just hear from You, Lord. I pray that You'd be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not with us tonight, Lord, the ones that are sin sick, Lord, more than anything, Father. I pray for a spiritual healing of the soul. Lord, we love having the healing of the body. But, Lord, I pray that you'd, the ones, Lord, that are, as we're talking about, some may not know what the Holy Ghost is and how to get it and all those things. It's been taught so many different ways. Brother Ram said it's a very ill-taught subject 50, 60 years ago, and it still is. But I pray, Lord, that you would just break back the scales from our eyes just for a few minutes and let us see you, Father. Just give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Good to see Sister Mary back with us. I told her she should have got a red dress. just remember, too, Brother Jason Jackson is going to be here the second weekend, and we're going to have a Saturday night service at 6 o'clock and a Sunday one service. Brother Dutch and his crew are going to come be with us that Saturday, as far as I know. So, also, too, just for FYI, I went last Wednesday and had a scan of the prostate, and they did find something. So that's something they're going to go in and do a biopsy and see what's going on. So not worried about it, but still, let's pray about it. I do not like those biopsies. If you men never had one, please don't ever get one. Well, you need to be screened, but as we get older, it ain't fun. I know you sisters have to go through all the mammograms and all the stuff like that, but we do have to go through certain things like that, too. So just keep me in prayer, and they're going to do it within the next couple of months. And the doctors didn't seem real concerned, but he was concerned enough to where we're going to go further and have another biopsy. There was two small spots there that shouldn't be there. So Philippians 2 verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." We have got to get away from self. We have got to get away from selfish. All right, selfies. That's this whole world is nothing but selfish. We're all selfish. Look, you take a little kid. Take a little kid, put them downstairs, put three kids together. Give them one toy. And let it be one of them's toy. And not the other two. Well, I don't have to say any more. If you had kids, I'll promise you, you know what I'm talking about. There's going to be a fight called mine. And mine. Why? Because they've grown up selfish. So as adults, we shouldn't be that way, though. So if we have something, let's share it. So let's share the Word of God. Let's share our experience. Let's share the Lord with people. Yesterday, I was at the restaurant there in Gillsville, and there was a man there that was, he's a retired police officer, and he wants to get in the city. So we were talking about getting in the city and all the things, and he asked me what I did besides, you know, he said, he knew I worked at the post office because I did run his mail. Every once in a while, but he said, "What else do you do?" I said, "Well, we got a little church up here in Lula, Georgia, out on the main, on the highway here." He said, "William Branham." I said, "How'd you know that?" Him and Mike Canada had been together forever. He said, "I believe at baptism." He said, "Father ain't no title. I mean, Father is a title. It ain't no name." And he said, "That Trinitarian doctrine," he said, "I don't see it." He said, "But now I don't see that Brother Branham's the only prophet we need to listen to." I said, "Well, that's okay. We can start there." There was no pushback. There was nothing, you know, but he had been with Brother Mike Canada and doing some things while he was on patrol here in Gainesville. Now he's retired and lives in Gillsville. So we're going to speak further. All right. So at least there was no, you know, pushback. But he knew about the church here because as soon as I said that, he said, "William Branham." So he knew that... that we believe that God did send us a prophet, and we do believe he's the only prophet, but there are prophets in the fivefold ministry. That's what I told him. I said, "You can't tell you, there's prophets in the fivefold ministry, but there's major prophets to each generation." And I said, "We just believe he was the major prophet to this generation, according to the Bible." And he said, "Okay," and, you know, we kind of had to go our separate ways, but just pray that that we'll say the right thing. And he's just a real good guy, and he's not very old to be retired. He must start real young. So 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." Now see, we receive the spirit of the world. That's what we're going to get to about the Holy Ghost. We received the spirit of the world when you were born. Your natural birth puts you in the spiritual part of the world. The worldly part. All right? Then what happened, you had to be transferred, or that cucklebur nature had to be burned out of you and had to be a wheat nature put in, but you still look like the same cuckabird. Right? Everybody with me? But the Spirit which is of God, now we have received, now he's telling the Corinthians, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Now, when the Holy Ghost teaches us something, Brother George, it's always right. It's always, you can depend on that. Now, you can't depend on man, but you can depend on the Holy Ghost. Because he's going to teach you, and it says, look, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And Brother Brown tells us, and I'm not going to read it, but that we are supposed to be spiritual people. Amen? We're supposed to have spiritual insight. We're supposed to be eagles. We're supposed to be little messiahs. Brother Brown told us, and we've had these things told to us for years and years and years, when are we going to start believing that it's happening to this generation? It's happening to you and me. Amen. Not for somebody else. It's happening now. All right, and it's happening to somebody, whether you see it or not. You say, I don't see anything. Well, maybe it's not for you. Sorry. How can you say you're not seeing anything, and we've got the Word of God coming every Sunday and every Wednesday, all these brothers. I learned one thing for sure. Don't go reach for a doorknob in a car if the Lord tells you not to. Ask Bob. It's embarrassing, though. You had to go back in to get the key from my, bless your heart. It'd be all right. And I'm sure Monica's like, what are you doing in here? I need the key. Life lesson number, you did some life lessons. Don't do that. Especially when you don't have the key in your pocket. So now, just for a second, we're going to look and see. It is hot up here. The birth is not the anointing. And the birth, the new birth, is not the adoption. But it's all intertwined. Everybody with me, though? You get everything you need at your new birth. Now, that when I say the birth, that means the new birth. That means that the life of God is now inside of you. Not on you, in you. That's the difference in the anointing. The anointing, we talked about it up in Tennessee, at Brother Andre's, and he said to tell you hello again. He really enjoyed it. We've been texting back and forth for the last several days, so he said tell you hello, and he really enjoyed the services. But there is an anointing that is a true anointing of the Holy Ghost. It is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is God. It's the true Holy Ghost, but it will anoint a person that's totally false, that won't let God in their soul. I said that won't let God in their soul. So it's what you decide. You can be, and that's the whole thing I see is we're going to talk about it Sunday. And we'll read it if we get to it. But there was a time when Paul was in the upper coast of Ephesus and he finds a group of believers. Believers. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, what are you talking about? Well, see, let's bring that to now. There's a lot of people in this message, when you tell them that, they go, what do you mean? I've been in the message for 45 years. I live by John, quote, Brother Branham's message. Isn't that what they said? Paul said, how were you baptized? He said, oh, we were baptized under John. Well, that's great. He's a prophet. He was the third coming of Elijah. That sounds wonderful. But Paul says, ain't going to work in this day. You got to go further. You got to get the Holy Ghost. And they said, well, tell us about it. So Paul, I believe it wasn't just two scriptures. I believe Paul expounded on the Holy Ghost, laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them. Because they were what? They were sincere and they wanted the Word of God. They just had nobody teach it to them right. So we'll read it this Sunday where Brother Brown said it's the most ill-taught subject in the Bible is the new birth. And we'll get to it in just a minute. But the anointing, you can be anointed by the devil. All right? Most of y'all and me have been anointed by the devil a lot in our life. Well, I'll amen for all of you. Because he was the first anointed cherub. He was the man that God put right beside of him that says, you're my anointed cherub. You are going to be head anointer. All right? He made no other. You are the head anointer. And look what happened. The Bible says iniquity. He says in Ezekiel, he said, you were perfect. Now, this is God talking to the devil, you know, talking to Lucifer. He said, I made you perfect. I made you to be the anointed cherub that I would send my anointing through to the people. And boy, does he not. But he don't do it God's way. He does it his own way. It's a little bit of selfishness come about. He wanted to be God. He didn't want to be beside the Lord. He wanted to be the Lord. Amen? So there's an anointing there, and we'll talk about it in just a little bit. So in the adoption series, though, Brother Brown said, what is adoption? And that's what we're going to get to, because adoption is up there above brotherly kindness, where the Holy Spirit molds and covers everything, and we'll read it in a little bit. But remember, Brother Brown says, your adoption is not your birth. All right? You receive the spirit of adoption, according to Romans 8. You receive the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Daddy, Daddy. Well, you're not going to cry anymore if you become an adult. All right, is everybody with me? So you've got your new birth. You've got an anointing to that new birth. Then you've got an adoption that covers into that new birth. But you can have the new birth and not be adopted. You can have the new birth and you can be anointed by the devil. Come on. Thank God for a prophet that told us that if a brother took their life, right? You tell that to a Baptist. Now, Baptists will tell you if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. I mean, straight shot. Right to it. You ask them. Ain't no chance. No way. Well, thank God he sent us a prophet that told us that you could be anointed in your spirit realm so much by the devil until you turn yourself over to that and you commit suicide. But you can be a Holy Ghost-filled person, all right? So everybody with me on that. But your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is your placing. Now remember, Brother Ram said, when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit of God and you're sons of God, but we are predestinated. Who was predestinated? Only this age was predestinated to come to full adoption. Hear ye him. Make your name on the checkbook just as good as God's. He didn't give that to any other age. A little bit in Paul's age. A little bit in Irenaeus' age. But remember, it got lost down through the church ages. Well, now it's going to be brought back, Brother Brown said, brought back by the word of God is going to bring it back. The full word of God. So your adoption is your placing. It's not your birth. But now listen, you can't get adopted without having the new birth. All right? But you can be anointed by different things. You can be anointed by the Holy Ghost. Listen, how can somebody stand here and preach the message of the hour for 30 years and have a church with 350, 400 people and turn around one day and deny this message? He married them. He buried them. He baptized them all during that tenure. Now, you tell me he's got the Holy Ghost? I don't know. I'll let God deal with that, but it sure don't look like it. Talked to one preacher this coming last weekend, and he said, I just truly believe he blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I said, well, okay, you can say that, but I'm still going to pray for the brother. Amen. I mean, I'm still going to pray. If there's a chance like this, guess what? With you, there's a chance like this too. All right? Amen? All of us. We need grace. Now look, we were predestinated unto adoption, so we're heading toward that. We can do it. Other ages couldn't do it. But we can do it because we have the Word of God. Listen, we have, I don't want to say that. But this is not the image that the other ages had. But that's the image that we have. Brother Branham, Peter tells us every one of these, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue of knowledge, knowledge temperance. But it took a prophet to bring that thing together so that we can say, that's the stature of a perfect man. And it's connected with the pyramid because there's a headstone that was rejected. There was a cornerstone that started the message. And all that, it's not just a pretty picture. I was thinking just a little while ago, this is not something that's just, it's required. It's not something to fill 121 times we got on YouTube. But we were predestinated. Somebody is going to preach us to adoption. Somebody is going to preach us to the body change. Somebody is going to have an anointing that won't come off, that'll stay on us, and we will not die. And I mean laity, too. I'm not talking about just the preachers. I'm talking about laity. Somebody is going to catch this thing. If it's not me, I'm not standing in the way for somebody that can. Lead, follow, or get out of the way, right? So the River Jordan, we know that there was a position when Jesus come on the River Jordan. I'm kind of backgrounding for this weekend, so I hope you remember between now and Sunday. River Jordan experience was a type. Remember, Jesus didn't need the Holy Ghost, right? He was born Lord to Christ. He was born Emmanuel. He wasn't born a regular man, and then he walked around with a soul that wasn't God. His soul was Almighty God. And his spirit was a spirit in sundry times and divers manners that spake through the prophets, or the Holy Spirit you got inside of you. Everybody with me? All right? Then he had a human body. But he had to go to the River Jordan to what? To fulfill the Old Testament, actually, because remember the sacrifice when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He was identifying, there's the Lamb. And that Lamb has got to be washed before it can be sacrificed. So that's why he had to be baptized. He had to be washed as a sacrifice by a prophet or by somebody like Moses. Had to wash him, get him ready. But that wasn't hear ye him, because remember, God spoke and there was this fluttering of, it looked like a dove. It wasn't a dove, it looked like a dove. It was something that floated down that John saw, because he was a prophet. John saw it with his own eyes in another dimension. He saw it come on him and stay there, not lift off of him. And we'll read that this coming Sunday. But that was not hear ye him. Even God, to his own flesh person, God Almighty, human flesh, he didn't say hear ye him at that time, because he had to grow in grace and knowledge. That's what the Bible says. He was a human. But now he did come to a time where there was a Mount Transfiguration place that he had to come to where now he said, "This is my beloved son, whom I'm pleased to dwell." There was a cloud come down over them. There was a cloud come down over him and said, "Now hear ye him." 6 months before he went to Calvary. But remember, in Matthew 24, he preached the seals right before they took him to Calvary. He couldn't preach those seals with that other anointing on him. He preached the seals when he said, "Hear ye him." Just like Brother Brown, the same way. Brother Brown had to come to the hear ye him part so that we could get what we got from him. So we've been talking about Moses and different ones that had, we were talking about power without character. So let's put this word in here, power without the Holy Ghost in their soul. Because remember, the Holy Ghost in your soul is your rudder. It's your spiritual rudder. It's what turns you when you start trying to do something wrong. And it, don't touch that doorknob on that car. You say, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. That was just, no, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're the sons of God, right? Now, some of the dumb stuff we do, I don't think that we can blame that on the Holy Ghost. All right? Blame that on ourselves, not even the devil. So Moses had power without the Holy Ghost in his soul, so he could kill somebody. He had a killer instinct. Hey, I'm sorry, he did. David, too. David had a lust spirit on him. So did Samson. Abraham lied a couple of times. Jacob, Noah, we talked about it before. Saul, Elisha, all the different ones. They had power because God had anointed them to do a job. Right. All right? So he would anoint Elisha and Elisha would do a job. But that anointing stayed so close to Elisha that two things happened in Elisha's life. Number one was, is he got mad when those kids were calling him old bald head, and 42 kids died because of that prophet. Then Elisha died, and he still had so much of the Holy Ghost in his bones, so they throw the dead man down there, and the dead man come to life. All right? Let's don't try that. But watch. So there's the anointings in the Old Testament. Jesus come, he was the Holy Ghost. He was our example. He was this. But he had to be anointed for a ministry. Something did come on him at the River Jordan, and it stayed on him, and the Bible said, and remained. All right? So we'll talk about that Sunday. I'm trying to get a little bit of basis so you can kind of get it rolled around in your head. Because listen, the Holy Ghost is the most important thing in your life. Whether you got it or not. You've got to know that you know that you know. Before you can even start with these virtues. But listen, with the Holy Ghost, you can catch up real quick because God said he wouldn't leave anybody behind. If you make yourself available, I promise you, God will give it to you. He'll pour it in. If you just want it bad enough. Now notice in this, now David thought he had everything in order. Now remember what Brother Ryan was talking about. Remember David was a prophet. He was a man after God's own heart. But he got a little self-righteous. And said, oh, I'm bringing the ark back. This is wonderful. I'm sitting in a message church. Got the best popular preacher. I'm not going there. But anyway, so we don't have that here. So how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man? But he was inspired. What happened? Instead of going by what God had said, right? That thing had to be carried by the preachers or the priest, right? He said, oh, put it on a cart. I want to hear now. I don't have time to send a priest. That sounds good. But Brother Brown said he was out of the will of God. And a man died because of David's inspired order that he wanted that thing back, which it was the ark of God, but it wasn't supposed to be touched by anybody. So see how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man, but it's got to be in the order of the anointing. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Ghost and the soul as dark as pitch. False teachers can rise teaching all kinds of Trinitarian ideas or whatever you want to call in the message now and be anointed with the Holy Ghost and perform just as many miracles as the true gospel can. But by the word here, that's what does it. That's why that Brother Dale has harped on the word, the word, the word, the word. Because if you don't get the word, you can be fooled. You can be fooled. We're all fooled without the word of God. We're all fooled without the truth. We're all fooled without the Holy Ghost in our soul. Amen. Ephesians 4, verse 6 says, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, thank God. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, now what? When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That was Jesus when he resurrected, come up through the Old Testament, took paradise up, and took him up into a place. All right? Everybody with me? Wherefore, now he didn't stay there though. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now Paul stops and interpolates with the quotation or the exclamation, not the exclamation, but the parentheses. Now that he ascended, what is it but they also descended into the lower parts of the earth. So he first went down, picked them up, brought them out. But now look, he that descended is the same one that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. So where did he go? He went to a dimension. But he sent the Holy Ghost back. How? That red right there. That's what he sent us. He sent us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. For the edifying. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Look, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Stature of perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be more what? No more children. Tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Where they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking, look, the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things. Which is the head, even Christ, from which the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, compacted according to the effectual working and the measure of every part maketh, look, increase. We're flourishing because of what we believe, or we're not. Or we're not. But we should flourish. It's like the sister up there, I don't know if you watched the YouTube video of me speaking up there, but there was a sister Linda. We'd known her since she's a little kid, and she told me, she said, bro, wait, she said, my kid, you know, she had a kid or two that was out in the world, she said, I've done everything, she said, I went through all and did everything. I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, I do this, I do that, I pay my tithe, I do all that. She said, God's got to honor my prayer. And she's right. Because what will happen is that will trigger God to have to do something. If we'll approach it like that, that God, you've said this. Because Brother Brown said, look, what you've done, when you've done everything you know to do, what did he say to do? Stand. Stand right there. and say, God, you promised it. Don't worry about hell or high water. You stand there and you claim your kids, claim your healing, claim yourself that you're going to grow in the stature of a perfect man. Amen? I can't do it. You got to do it yourself. But thank God he gave us a ministry that can do it. Now look at what edifying means. The act of one who promotes another's growth. Isn't that what this church is built on that, Brother Moat, Brother Dale? All the ministry that's been in this building, it is an edifying ministry. It's not something to tear somebody down. Oh, sure, sometimes people have, you know, Brother Dale have to get, he had to get a little, you know, do a little surgery, a little loose skin, you know. But you know what? We were better because of it. We were better because of it, all right? And you can't say you weren't. You say you were worse, and you need to go back and get the new birth. Because remember, God, if you don't take correction, you're what? Bastard child, all right? So you're not even in the body. You're not even a brother or sister. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, and holiness. So edifying has to come through a fivefold ministry, not pressing play. Am I in the wrong church? Well, can somebody say amen? That was weak. I believe in pressing play, but I believe you got to have a fivefold ministry. People in flesh standing here looking at you and telling you what God said. Because look, as Brother Dale said many years ago, and I caught that, and I hope that a lot of other people did, because somebody quoted it not too long ago. These gifts were predestinated by God. These are gifts to the church. All right? They're gifts to the church. It wasn't given to one man. Sure, Brother Branham did fulfill all. But when he passed on, he gave it to the rest of the people, because you can't take Ephesians out. Now watch. Brother Branham said, for the Bible said it was apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. All of these for the perfecting of the church. God set them in the church. Now look, there's 9 spiritual gifts. All right? Love, joy, peace, and speaking in tongues. They can all be given out by Satan. Brother Brown said Satan can pass out spiritual gifts like you wouldn't believe. Now there's 9 spiritual gifts. But now look, they're not predestinated. You can have them, not have them. If I never speak in tongues a day of my life, I'm still born again. Okay, so you understand they're needed. We need them. We should have them, the gifts working in the church, right? But if you never speak in tongues a day in your life, don't think you're dying and going to hell because you missed that gift. But that gift wasn't predestinated. But buddy, let me tell you something. You won't make it without apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. I'll promise you that, because that's what the Bible says. Look, God set them in the church. Now, there's 9 spiritual gifts that we can lay on hands and so forth and pray earnestly for the best gift and so forth. Period. But these others are predestinated gifts of God. God sets them in the church. Now, who's going to take them out? Man's took them out. God never took them out. There's nowhere where God took them away. Through the ages that come, John the Baptist was a special runner for that age. God foreordained him to do that work. Do you believe that? Sure he did. He said, do you go to see a prophet? He said, more than a prophet. John didn't know that, but Jesus knew it. Now listen. Hear ye him, 1958. Brother Brown said, look, speak the word, Lord. Now he's praying. If that would be sufficient, but God's good. He has set in the church gifts. First, apostles or missionaries, both the same. Apostle means one sent. Missionary means one sent. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. They're all predestinated gifts of God. In other words, they cannot change. Gifts and callings are without repentance. So any of those gifts can be misinterpreted. Can be used by Satan. And listen, even apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists can be false. But there is a true group because they're predestinated to get us somewhere. They're predestinated to edify us. They're predestinated to get us to the next level, if you want to say that. They're placed in the church. Look. So who placed them in? God. Man didn't. But man's tried to take them out. Man can't take out what God put in. Gifts and callings are without repentance. They're placed in the church to bring the church together, hold it together for the glory of God. Amen. That's why you see, listen, folks, there's going to come a time where everybody's going to do what? Show who they are. Right. You're going to let it out one way or the other. Amen. We just need the gifts that God give us. Okay? God give us gifts through men. God give us gifts through men. God didn't come in one man. He did Christ Jesus. Yes, he did. But what did he tell you he was going to do? I'm going to go away. I'm going to come back. And what I've got, I'm going to give to you. All right? So let's look here just for a second at brotherly kindness. I'm trying not to leave so much skin on the floor. But we know what brotherly kindness is. And truly, look, if you call somebody a brother or sister, it denotes you're from the same family. So you, when you say brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you really mean that. You mean that they're part of the family, the real family of God. All right? John 13:34, now Jesus is standing. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall, look, by this. Now, how you want men to know you? How were they known as disciples in the early church? They were called Christians because they acted like Caiaphas. No, they acted like Christ. They were Christians in Antioch, the Bible says. So he said, you're going to see that men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. In other words, an outward display. Matthew 5, verse 37 says, but let your conversation be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You have heard that it said, now Jesus, this is Jesus talking. You have heard that it's been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what the Old Testament said. All right? We moved over into a new commandment. We didn't do away with the old commandment. All right? Because under the old commandment, you hated your enemy because you didn't have the Holy Ghost. You didn't have that kind of love in your heart. God knew that, so he put that in there. So, you know, even if you murder somebody in the Old Testament, and if you did it maliciously, the family hunted you down and killed you. But there was a refuge city. There were six refuge cities. That if something happened, even if you wanted to do it, but there was some that if, they even had an example, that if an axe handle or an axe head falls off and hits somebody and kills them, you can run in there to that city and find refuge. Well, praise God to us that in the New Testament, that's grace. That's grace. Because if you kill somebody's influence, you've killed the brother, right? And that, I've been guilty of that. But you got to make it right. You have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, all right? I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Can you really do that? Can you really do that? You think about that. And I've been thinking about it all week. Do good to them that hate you. Literally hate you. You got to do good to them. And pray for them. No, you know what we do? We get in the bed and we lay our head down and we go, bless mom and dad. Bless our church folks. Bless our ministry. Bless the people that love me. Bless my friends. Have you ever said, bless my neighbor that hates me? Well, there's the skin. Y'all have to walk over going out. Me too. But that literally is what that's saying. That's not saying anything different than what I just told you. If somebody despises you, you need to pray for them. I'm just telling you. You say, well, why do I need to waste my time? Altar will be open in just a few minutes. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. No, we get God, why is that you put that person right in my neighborhood? praying for you. You ever done that before? Nope, didn't think so. More skin hit the floor. But you know, that's what, and just like Jim said, our neighbors are homosexual, and they've been that way for 30 years. But they're some of the nicest people. They show no outward affection when they're outside, and they're just nice. They've even been the only one in our neighbor right around us that's asked about the message. Yeah, and he's asked about Dad several times, about Dad and his, you know, having the stroke and all that, because they almost died. They both had heart attacks, and they were widowmakers. So God kept them around here for some reason. But they know that we can talk back and forth, and they converse with us. But Mike come over one day, and he said, I've heard this about y'all all my life. So see, I mean, the community knows. Well, they think they know what Aunt so-and-so said, that Uncle so-and-so said, that cousin this one said, and then the preacher on the other church said. He said, I just want to know what y'all believe. Ear to ear, mouth to mouth. I want to know what y'all believe. So I stood outside, and we stood there for about an hour, and I kind of just laid the picture out for a little bit, you know. And he said, well, okay, never rejected it, never said anything bad about it. He said, well, I just wondered. I've heard this, and I've heard y'all worship a man, and y'all say that he's God. And so I just kind of, you know, give him the, you know, the whole spiel about the message and how we believe that a messenger had to come. And was identified in the Bible. It's not just somebody that God said, I'm just going to send this guy. No, he's identified in Scripture. So Mike was enough to know he'd been raised in church. He knew those Scriptures and where they were. Malachi was not, you know, he knew where Malachi was in the Bible. So what are you saying? Well, you know what? Maybe it'll do something. Plant maybe a little something in him. You know, same way with the guy that I saw the other day. You just, you know, if he would have said, well, now, I heard you was a, You stole something, and you didn't. You know, he starts naming all this stuff, and you know, I heard you cussing the other day over there. You know, and that would have been a real good example, right? So let's not be guilty of that. I want to be guilty of being a Christian. And as the old saying goes, if I have to go to court, will they convict me to be one? By the evidence that's given. I won't be able to convict me. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Now, he's fixing to tell us what's the two greatest commandments. Not thou shalt not kill. Not thou shalt not bear false witness. Not thou shalt honor your father and mother, which is good. He's going to tell us what the two great commandments are, because they're going to ask him here in just a little bit. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Divine love and sovereign grace. Brother Ram says we're facing a day when brotherly love will become a strange thing among people. And it's to my humble belief that that's the greatest of all the gifts that there is in God's Bible. Remember the whole quote, I didn't bring it, but for those of you that hadn't heard it, he said, now, if God was to walk up to me and say, all right, I'm going to give you the greatest ministry, I'm going to give you the greatest healing campaign, I'm going to give you all these great things, but I'm going to withhold my love from you. Brother Brown said, take all of them and give me love. Just give me that one gift, and that's what he's saying here, to my humble belief. And I believe that that's why we're not as far up as we are, is brotherly kindness. Is showing somebody that literally hates your guts that it's all right. I'm not going to, what did the Bible say? If you're reviled at, don't revile back. Guilty! Yeah, thank you, Richard. Some of you will tell the truth, some of you liars. So selfish. To be selfish is to be concerned excessively with your own self. Selfie sticks. Selfishness is one of the biggest obstacles to having the kind of close relationship with God and an inspiring relationship with others. How can you be selfish? How can you be so selfish that you don't help your brother or your sister? I keep saying brotherly kindness. It is sisterly also. Y'all don't sit here, all you women are going, hey, y'all men, it says brotherly kindness. No. it says brotherly kindness slash in there somewhere sisterly kindness. All right? Because it means all of us. Okay, so now, see, y'all are all involved now. The women was like, he's talking about them now. That's them brothers. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, think about that. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Have you ever seen a world where you see these YouTube influencers? They don't have a job. Huh? The kids know what I'm talking about. The other ones may not. There's people that just get paid to just say, I'm going to the bathroom today. I'm going to color my hair blue, and I'm going to wear this, and I'm going to go lay on the beach. I'm going to vlog or blog or whatever it is. And I get paid to do that. Wow. Think about self. But are we that way? Are we selfish? Brother Brown said in 1950, people's got too selfish. Get to a place where they think they live in a little world all by themselves. Oh, woe is me. You know that's the truth. Now, Brother Brown says, I despise that somebody, that old somebody that feels they're bigger than somebody else. After all, you're 6 foot of earth. That's all you are. Well, some more skin just hit the ground. And Brother Brown says in 1954, he said, I recognized the other day a selfish spirit coming on me of saying this man's wrong. I know I ought to tell him about it. That's wrong. God's one needs to tell him about it. Let's continue on. Same. Listen, Brother Brown was full of complexes. I'm just trying to tell you this man was human. This is the same tape. This is the same message. On down a little bit further in a different paragraph, he said, I want to ask the church one more thing before we get someplace to study in Scripture. That you'll pray for me. I've developed a critical spirit. And it haunts me. Wow. But you know what? I believe he got rid of it. He come to the statue of perfect man. He got rid of it. But at least he realized he had it, so he could get rid of it. Right? We got to realize that we're at a place so we can get rid of certain things. And to me, that's what the preaching is. It dissects your life for you. Because we don't want to believe that we're wrong. I ain't going there. Everlasting life. Brother Bram said, that's what's the matter with people today. Now, listen. They're trying to pack up to be a Christian. If there's anything you need to do is unpack. To be a Christian. Got too many things hanging on. And he keeps telling you that you load the camel up so much till it's bow-legged. So that's what we need to quit doing. And Brother Bob, I got to keep this in here. Brother Bob talks about pride. And Buddy, when he talks about pride, that blanket of evil just went out across over the congregation. Listen, it's okay to be proud. I'm proud of my dad. I'm proud of my mom. I'm proud of my pastor. That's one thing to be proud of. But I'm not so prideish to say he's the only one that's got it. And to say that there's me four and no more, that's too much pride. A feeling of deep pleasure derived from your own achievements. Look at me. I did this. I did this. No. If anything happens good, God had something to do with it. If it's in your Christian life. I want y'all to realize that. The achievement of those who with whom is closely associated are from quality or possessions that are widely admired. So see, I'm proud to be. I used to be proud to be an American when I was, you know, back in the world because that's all I knew. But now I'm proud to be a Christian. But I am proud to be living here. I mean, I don't want to be living nowhere else. All right? As bad as it is. So the Bible tells us pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Haughty spirit means arrogancy or bad sense. I just want everybody to see that still is, it plagues all of us. It really does. The pride, you just think about it. Like Brother Bob was saying, you know, what's all this gay movement? Pride. I'm proud of what I am. Well, guess what? I'm proud of what I am. I want the whole world to know. I'll hold a flag up. I don't care if it's all different colors. To me, it's a sign God ain't going to destroy the world with water no more. He's going to destroy it with fire, but he's not going to destroy it with water no more because he'd give me a rainbow that I can look at. And I don't look at the rainbow to see gay people. I maybe took off on YouTube, but that's whatever. We got to stand up for what we are. All right? Okay. blasphemous names, Brother Brown. Now look, real quick. Brother Brown tells us he sees this dream of Sister Shepherd. So he's interpreting the dream. Now, being a prophet, he saw the dream. So he's not interpreting from her telling him. Thank God for a prophet. See, because, you know, if I tell Brother Boyd my dream and he tells Sister June, Sister June tells Brother Bob, something will get missing in between there. But when Brother Branham would stand and he would literally see the same dream that you had, he could be confident that he didn't miss anything. So he would be, and God let him do that so he could have that confidence that he didn't miss anything. And you could depend on, Sister Shepherd was saying, Brother Branham, or she was saying, God, do I have the Holy Ghost? Remember? So God was so gracious that he gave her a dream and then gave Brother Branham the same dream to tell her the interpretation. And here's that interpretation. And it has something to do with the Statue of Perfect Man, because remember, blasphemous names was preached the Sunday after he preached Statue of Perfect Man. And he does clarify a lot of things in blasphemous names that he didn't clarify in the Statue of Perfect Man. Read them both and you'll see that. So Brother Branham talks about, he sees the vision of this man is up on top of the pyramid pouring water in. So this tabernacle, and he's talking about it's not a Holy Ghost tabernacle. There's no such thing. Individuals that come into this church is Holy Ghost tabernacles. Now see, he's making this, I can see where he's telling Sister Shepherd, look, it's not the tabernacle that you're going to that makes you have the Holy Ghost. I don't want you to depend on you having the Holy Ghost by coming to this church. All right? He's saying you depend on the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. Because Brother Bram says, look, they are tabernacles that contain the Holy Ghost. Me and you. So he's telling Sister Shepherd, it's got to not be in a building, but it's got to be inside of you. But not the church in the body, a group. Therefore, it runs out. He's talking about the water. But what this man who was pouring the water, the messenger to the church, who was that? He saw himself. He just was so humble, he didn't say, that was me, bless God, I was up there pouring that water in there. No, he said it was a messenger to the church. Well, you and I catch that revelation that it was him doing that. Pouring the message into the church, but what was the water doing? It was boiling out all the trash. So he's telling Sister Shepherd, you got the Holy Ghost. All these things are in the right position, but there's still some trash. There's still some excess skin that we got to get rid of, right? There's still some brotherly kindness that we got to work on, temperance, patience, and all these different things. It was boiling out all the trash that was in it. So I can see, I can't see the dream, but I can stand back and see that there was a pyramid-shaped mountain, and the top was off of it. And here this box was sitting, because I can see it there. Here's that box was sitting there. And she's saying, Brother Brown, do I have a Holy Ghost? Yeah, you got the Holy Ghost. But there's more. There's more. I got to get this trash out of you, because remember, she was standing not at the top of the pyramid. Sister Shepherd was standing at the bottom of the pyramid with the water running over her feet. Okay, Sister Shepherd, you got the Holy Ghost, but you ain't up there where that man's at. But you can get there if you'll let the message of the hour boil all this trash out of you. Same way with us. It's what the Holy Spirit does. It boils it up now. Now, the honey represented brotherly love, brotherly kindness, which is this age. I just got through telling, see, brotherly kindness. He's talking about the message before, the week before, the age that we live in now. Now, you might say, look, I sure don't like Brother Neville. Or I sure don't like Brother Jones. I don't like Brother so-and-so and something like that. But just let something happen to him. Brother, your heart is broke. I was telling him up there this past weekend. How many times have you ever in your life? How many times have you ever had a situation like that where you got separated? You didn't talk to somebody because of some little silly something. Everybody quiet. And you don't see that person and you say, boy, I should call. I'm going to pick the phone up and I'm going to call Sister so-and-so. I'm going to call Brother so-and-so. And you find out 2 days later they're dead. Happened to me. I know it's happened to you guys. Right? Well, doesn't it just tear your heart out? You don't worry about what separated you. But you didn't want that to happen no more. But you didn't worry about that. You was worried about that person. Look. Now, this is what Brother Brown's saying. I want you to really get this, because this is in big letters. We can obtain brotherly kindness and feeling for one another. All right? For one another. Because I can conquer as an individual, what I have against Brother Boyd or him against me, right? But can every one of you in this building do the same thing at the same time? But to maintain in the group of people, he kind of lets that trail off because he wants you to think. But you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get a church built to where it's not just an individual. Sure, we grow as individuals, absolutely, but we got to come to a place to where the bride has got to come to a place. Amen? As a body. It didn't say for the perfecting of two or three. He said for the perfecting of the saints. He said, Brother Bram said, but now to maintain it in a group of people, it's going to be kind of hard. Because look, he keeps going on. Why do you care for that brother? Because you broke bread with him here at the altar. Or you will tonight. You fellowship with him. Oh, by the way, that made me realize again, since last Wednesday, we're not going to have communion this Sunday, but we'll have it next Sunday. It'll be the first Sunday of the month. Brother Keith will be here, so we'll just have everything that whole weekend. You shook his hand. You worship with him. He's your brother. And he might do something in the flesh. Now look, that he would you would disagree with, because you just kind of stay, now look, what you oughtn't do, but you shun him a little. Oh, y'all never done that. But in the more skin. But in the bottom of your heart, if something happened to that brother, it would nearly kill you or that sister. I'm an old man. I once young. Now I'm old. I've seen it down through the ages. Hear people say, I just won't have no more to do with him. And something happened to that man, it nearly kills you. He thinks, oh, God, I let my precious brother go without making friends with him. You see? See? It's brotherly love. It looks like it won't stick, but it does stick. The honey, it sticks. What is the honey? Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. It will stick. What is it holding together? It's holding together that rock box confession he was talking about. That what the messenger was pouring in. Because listen, if you pour something into a box, I don't care how good the box is, if it's got holes in it, and if it's got cracks in it, that trash is not going to come out. That trash is going to go right down through them holes and go right back into that same place again. Because remember, where was the box? The box was sitting right here. He was pouring the water in. The trash was coming out and running down the side. But if you got holes in your box and you don't have any brotherly kindness, where's all that trash going to go? Right back down in the bottom. Hebrews 12, but we all look like we've been in the sun all day when we get done with this one. Our skin. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now look at that one. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up troubling you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, let's cover this, and then we're not going to get any further, but we'll get to the Holy Ghost this weekend. Acts 11, verse 22. Now watch. This is two men. Now, there's no doubt Paul had the Holy Ghost. He was a church-age messenger. He had some of those virtues working in his life because him and Peter had talked back and forth, and he was a church-age messenger. He wasn't just some novice that was sitting there sucking his thumb. No, he wrote 80% of the New Testament, all right? And then Barnabas was connected to him. And then let's read. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with the purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Look, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. All right, so the Bible is giving the commentary of Barnabas. That he wasn't some novice. He wasn't some fly-by-night guy. He had the Holy Ghost and faith. And he was a good man. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. In other words, they come together and they preach for several years together. Everybody with me? And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled right there. They assembled them. They were in the same church together. Breaking bread. Preaching, getting something off each other, right? Feeding off each other. And they taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. But now that was Acts 11, verse 22. Now look, Acts 15, this is a few more verses over. Acts 15, 36. And some days after Paul said, unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas said, okay, but I'm going to take Mark with me, or John. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them. Now listen, it wasn't doctrinal. It wasn't doctrine. It was individual people that didn't see eye to eye with each other. All right? The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And it does not record them ever coming back together again. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas. Now, Paul and Silas had to come together because they were written in the Bible that they did some great things. Had both be put in jail. And departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now, think about that. Here's two men that are just mighty men in the same church. And they have a little differences of who needs to go with them and who doesn't. Paul was saying, hey, look, Barnabas, Mark wasn't with us when we were doing the work. He just comes a little bit later. And Barnabas is like, yeah, but he's my guy. And Paul said, well, I ain't going with him. Barnabas says, well, I ain't going with you. So they departed. So you understand how brotherly kindness works? They loved each other as brothers, but they had small contentions with each other. So as I've always said before, if everybody loves you, you're just too wishy-washy. If everybody loves you. Now, you should all love each other as brothers because we are Christians. But just because Donnie doesn't hunt or doesn't fish like I do. Okay. I mean, like I do all the time. You'd rather have your head under a hood. You had used to. Okay. Will you just go with me here, okay? I chose you for a reason. But now that doesn't make that. Well, that does mean though that if Donnie says, "Hey, I'm going to go rebuild," don't laugh. I'm going to go rebuild a motor. I'm going to like, go ahead, buddy. Well, why ain't you going to go with me to rebuild this motor? I don't want to. I don't know a thing about it. I'd be bored stiff. I'm going hunting. You go do your motor. We'll come together on church Sunday. So there's brotherly kindness, just in a nutshell. Because there's got to be a balance. Because I'm going to read you a scripture here in just a second where the Bible says, woe unto you that every man speaks good of you. I'll read it right here. I like this quote. Brother Bram said, a real believer will give you your choice. No selfishness in a real believer, not at all. And that's the great commandment. Somebody asked him, said, look, which is the great commandments in the law? The great commandment in the law. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Here it is. Luke 6, verse 26. This is Jesus telling us. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Like I said before, you get spited, you have a bad day at work, your boss gets on you, your neighbor gets on, or your coworker, and I'll promise you, you don't go home and pray for them. You might pray the Lord get them out of their office. But the Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you. And this is sounds so simple or profound, but we're not going to get up the headstone if we don't love our brothers and our sisters like we should. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Listen, I made myself a note here. This is all hard. For a human being without the Holy Ghost is totally impossible. You look at the world, road rage, they'll shoot you now. They used to just shoot me a bird. Now they shoot you with a gun. Right? Anything. You make somebody mad and they'll either beat you up, run you off the road, or they'll try to kill you. And you see how this age, you see where that guy lined his three kids up? Young kids. And executed them. And was laughing when he went to the jail. Yeah, killed his own three kids. Execution style, they said. And he had no remorse whatsoever. You think that's bad? You wait till we leave. When we leave this place, you can forget it. You stay here, you're going to fight. You'll fight till you die. Because everybody else is going to be doing the same thing. But let's not. Let's get out of here. Love your neighbors. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you or falsely accuse you. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. 1 John 4:19 says, we loved him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. 1 John 3:13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Boy, we know that. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. We know. Now, I'm reading you a Bible. I'm not reading you a quote from James Dobson. I'm not reading you a quote from Wade Dale or Samuel Dale. I'm reading you the Bible. Aren't we supposed to do what the Bible says? The Bible was written for us. All right? We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I'm reading Bible. Okay? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in the word, neither in tongue. Now look, but in deed and in truth. Easy to say it, hard to do it. But we can. Listen, we can. Brother Brown tells us, "Is you people, these saw blade tempers that's always spouting off at the mouth at somebody. Have I hit anybody yet? Can't put up, more skin. Can't put up and things like that. Be careful, Brother Brown said, be careful. You're guilty if you speak a word against your brother that's not right, not just go around and tear him down or tear down it. You don't have to stick a knife in that man's back to kill him. You can break his character and kill him, kill his influence. How many times have we seen that? We sure have. Speak against your pastor here. I'm sure he pointed back at Brother Neville. Say something bad about him, you just might as well have shot him. Told something that wasn't right about him, well, it'll kill his influence with the people and things like that. And you're guilty of it. That's what Jesus said. How about that? Finally, let's read this and then we'll, musicians, come on. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. And I want to tell you a little story just for a second. Let's all stand. I have a guy on my mail route, and he's about maybe the 10th box on the route, so I get him early in the morning. and bless his heart. I'm going to tell you this story, and then, you know, and I do pray for him. But he lives in a, he drives a car that I wouldn't drive out of my parking lot. The wheels are bent, the tailgate's off the truck. It's piled full of stuff. But every day, I'm telling you, every day that boy's up out of the bed. He's either trimming trees or cutting trees to make some money. He's either he goes and gets junk cars and stuff, you know, takes it up here to the recycling thing, cans and all that. He works so hard, and he has nothing. Lives in just you can look through the door and see the house, and it's just piled full of stuff. The yard's piled full of stuff. But I have compassion on somebody that'll do that. I don't have compassion on somebody that sits on their lazy rear end and then that happens to them. But he's just struggles all the time. Every time I see him, he's doing something. He's not sitting down. He's always, you know, you see him driving up the road with a trailer, and he's got, you know, 14 or 15 parts that are aluminum or brass or something, you know, piled up on his junk, and he's going to go and make maybe $50 for all that effort. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. But contrarywise, opposite are, as Brother Ram says, vice versa, or versa. Blessings. But contrarywise, don't render evil for evil or railing for railing. We're all guilty of that. But contrarywise, blessings, knowing that you are thereunto called. Now look, this is my whole point. You're called for this. This is what you're called to. There's a lot of people are not called to this because they can't make it. They're not taught. They don't know how to navigate through Scripture. They don't know how to navigate through times in their life because they don't have the Holy Ghost. But if you got the Holy Ghost and you got good teaching, this ought to be something that we conform, as the Bible says, conform to His image. All right? That's what we're doing with this. We're taking our image out and we're conforming to the image of God. Right. We're supposed to be doing. So contrarywise, blessings, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now, who wants a blessing from God? Everybody says, I need a blessing, I need a blessing. Well, there's your scripture right there. Have compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or in other words, the Bible says he didn't rail back when they railed at him when they was getting ready to hang him on the cross. They called him all kind of stuff and he didn't say a word. Knowing that you're called for this and that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You love the Lord? He's laid it out for us. He's give us everything, but are we doing, are we, as I was thinking the other day, sometimes we just kind of skim over our Christianity. We just kind of hit the high points. Listen, we love Acts 2:38. We love John 3:16. We love our certain scriptures. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, right? We love these scriptures. You need to love them. So we're esteeming one scripture better than the other. Bible says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Folks, that's divine forgiveness. You and I can forgive, but we can't forget. Because we're humans. I wish we could. But God can forgive and he can forget. If you place it under the blood, he can't even see it, the prophet of God told us. Right? Let's sing a song.
So much to thank him for this evening. When I look around and I see
the good things
that he's done for me. I know I'm not worthy of them all.
For his blessing,
Gavin, he
freely gives.
Oh, I owe my life to him. I got so much to thank
him for. I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see,
as he cries out, blessings will fall on this brother, Lord, that he'll be able to lead and guide, Lord. And we pray that you'd bless him, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, he's done and well. He has brought me from. Think about that. To thank him for. Sometimes. Say what? Thank you, Lord. For all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. And when I reach, let's don't wait till we reach. Let's do it now. But surely I'm going to kneel once more.
Let me kneel
once more. I've got so much. Sing it to him. To thank him for. Coming under a demon of sugar, Lord, and I pray that you'll just bless him, Father. Take this away from him, Lord. I ask that you would just, Lord, right now, make him feel better, Lord, and that everything will lift off of him, Father, and he'll get what he needs in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And where that he has brought me from. Sing that one more time as we get ready to go. To thank him for. And I've got so much to thank him for. Just think about it. He put you right here. He put you in a place where you can hear the truth. He gave you the message of the hour. And we just kick it around like a can. Well, it's okay. It's all right. We'll be okay. We'll be all right. We got to be diligent. Diligent. I got so much to thank. One more time as you're dismissed. Just remember the service on Sunday. I've got so much. You're dismissed. To thank him for.